Hello, and welcome to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur, where Hayut Yogev speaks with entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs about reaching or missing the critical point of approaching the right customer with the right message at the right time and place, the point where business success starts. And here is your host, Hayut Yogev.
Rich or Miss, episode 36. Amos Telmer is focused on marketing and business development, specializing in bringing cutting-edge technologies and innovations from Israel to the rest of the world. Amos's focus is on assisting startup companies in successfully penetrating the world's markets from US and Canada to Asia and Europe and helping them to establish their local presence and market share. Amos Telmer, it's such an honor to have you here and a pleasure. Welcome.
It's a pleasure for me as well.
So great to have you here. I just shared with our listeners what you've done until now. And I would like you to share with us what are you doing and most passionate about today and where are you heading?
Okay. Passionate about today is I think that we are in an era that I don't know what happened 100 years ago. I definitely don't know what will happen 100 years from now. But what I know now is the technology, which I'm part of it for the last 40 plus years, is changing our life. Everybody is holding in the hand the mobile phone. Everybody is talking about communication. Everybody is talking about video. Everybody is talking about virtual reality, augmented reality, things like that. This is something definitely nobody spoke 100 years ago. And since I'm in the in the technology era, I love this very much. And that's why I'm involved with that with the last almost 20 years. This is the passion for today, and I would like very much to connect all my experience of 40, almost 50 years of sales worldwide to the young generation, which could be from the age of 40 and down to 20. Well, those are those entrepreneurs that I work with them today.
That's what you've been doing for many years, isn't it?
I'm doing it for very many years, 15 years out of it in Asia Pacific, where I lived, and we'll get into details a little bit later. I'm definitely approaching the market, the worldwide market, plus the 15 years involved on a daily basis in Asia gave me a lot of confidence that I know what the customer knows and what the customer wants, and I know how to approach customers. I think this is the most important thing.
So what are you doing today? I know that you're working with a lot of startups, but what are you doing and where are you heading? What are the plans to the next year or two?
Okay, first of all, I plan for the next 10 years. I always look 10 years ahead and try to do things within the first year. To your question, what I'm doing today is actually going hand in hand with a few startups that I'm involved. Some of them I invested, some of them I just being part of the board of directors or advisory board and helping them to do two things in general and many things in particular. In general is to find the funding, the funds for them, which is always, it's a problem for startups.
It's a challenge, the biggest challenge.
Not only as an angel, but also find for them VCs worldwide in the US, in Europe, and in Asia, especially in China, and also in Korea. And that's what I'm doing on one hand. On the other hand, I am continuing and even accelerating the process of opening the gate to Asia Pacific for people or for companies that want to approach Asia, because the culture between Asia and the West is not familiar to most of the people worldwide. Very, very difficult for people to understand things. And my experience of 15 years intensively in Asia in the last 20 years, less intensive, but still working with Asia countries from China and Korea and the Philippines and Japan, you name it. I think that what is my most attention the last couple of years, and especially this year, I want to take companies worldwide, start from Israelis, but it doesn't limit it to the Israeli companies, to take them to the Asia-Pacific market, but mostly to make them understand how to do the business.
Sure.
Less taking them hand in hand and go with them to customer, which I can do as well, but most of them is to approach them and tell them, ladies and gentlemen, this is the way to do the business in Asia. And if they understand and listen, usually it helps them a lot.
Is it possible to make business in China without some mediator, without somebody that will help you? Because what I know is definitely when I work with companies that we decide to approach Asia Pacific and China in particular. I'm not talking about Japan because this is a whole different story, but it's impossible to go there by themselves. They must have somebody that really would help them get there and stay there. So is it possible for a company just, you know, you can bring them and then they can work along there?
Let's say like this. I think that's the same thing for USA. I'm especially saying that. If you want to sell, Israeli company wants to sell in the US, they must have somebody on the ground in the US. You can't do it by yourself because even the culture are quite similar, it's not so similar.
Sure.
Definitely when you're talking about the China market or Korea market, you need to have somebody on the ground. First of all, because the customer wants to be able to talk to somebody that knows across the corner, this person is there.
Sure.
So it's to your question, yes, it is a need to have somebody, but it doesn't mean that you can't do most of the job. If you're going back to my history in China, yeah. I started working in China in 1985.
Wow.
This was my first visit in China. I landed in Beijing. From Beijing, I flew over to Shanghai, from Shanghai to Chengdu, from Chengdu to a small city called Mianyang, small city, only 2.5 million people there. At that time, it used to be called a small city.
Mm-hmm.
And I was representing a Israeli company called ECI Telecom.
Yeah.
In China at that time, nobody knew about it. Even in Israel, it was a quite small company, about 300, 400 employees. And I started to visit China customers in order to approach them and offer them the solution that ECI has at that time, which was quite a revolution in the telecommunication business.
Yeah.
And yes, we always used to have, first of all, translator. At that time,
sure.
Very little amount of people speaking English, so we need to have somebody with us. And in addition, we had our representative in China. At that time was the group of Mr. Eisenberg, the late Mr. Eisenberg. Later on, we opened our own office there without a representative directly. After I became, I would say, semi-giant in the telecommunication infrastructure in China, I'm talking about the years of end of the 80s, beginning of the 90s, till there were no Chinese companies like Huawei. At that time, they were not exist, and ECI became a very big company, and I can record for myself of sales in China over $600 million, doing it with my bare 10 fingers.
Wow.
So, yes, in China, you can do business, but you have to understand exactly and what to do and how to do it. Once you understand it, you will be able to do the business. They are willing to accept, but you have to know how to approach them.
Wow. And, you know, we are all about customer focus, and we are all talking about in this podcast how to approach your customers and how to build your customer focus. And I would like to ask you about your beliefs, and I would like to ask you to give our listeners your best advice about how to approach their customers and their customer focus.
In one word, understand the customer. Some of the people, and that's a big mistake, and it doesn't matter what market you're approaching, if it's the US, if it's Europe, or if it's Asia. First of all, you have to sit in the customer's seat and understand what the customer needs, and especially build trust with the customer. I think one of the biggest problems of companies in general, company doesn't matter which field you are trying to sell, you look at the customer from the eyes of yourself, meaning I have a very good product, I have a very good service, I have a very good solution, and I'm sure the customer needs it. But it doesn't have to be with what the customer thinks. So if you understand, and that's usually the job of a salesperson. I'm calling myself, my basic DNA is a salesperson. On top of it, I learn a lot of things in my life, but I think the basic and the foundation of myself is sales. The minute I sit in a customer room, I learn, I try to learn. Sometimes I do it in advance if I can. And these days with Google, etc., you will be, or LinkedIn, you'll be able definitely to get and learn a little bit about the customer before you approach a customer. Learn what the customer needs, learn what the customer wants. And I think that once you understand, really understand, that your solution, whatever it is, meets the customer needs, then you have a match. Totally. And of course, it's a matter of money, it's a matter of how to do it, when to do it. But in general, look at it through the eyes of the customer, and the chance to win is high.
Wow, I love it. And I know you have a lot of successes, and we'll get to that in a minute. But I want to ask you, what is your biggest, most critical failure with customers, the one that affected your entrepreneurial journey the most? Can you tell us this story?
Let's say like this. If we are talking about the late era, which is the last couple of years, I think that at least one of my startups, which we had a project, very interesting project with the big bank in Israel, and we start to do the approach, and we had the work, and we have a contract, and we got even down payment from the customer, and we made for them the service very nice. And then the customer said, okay, now we take you to the headquarters in the U.S., a very large company in the U.S., bank in the U.S., and we had the time limited to do that. And I can remember the date was November 13, doesn't matter the year, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And we worked very, very hard, and we didn't manage to get with the product to the right date, and we lost the market. And I'm talking about a market of definitely tens of millions of dollars income promised to be done the year after. Wow. And I think this is, if I'm looking at this era, I think this is one of the most critical point which hits me a lot, because I not only spent money into this project, but a lot of my time, a lot of my attention. But technically, I didn't build the solution. I was only the chairman of the company and bringing the customer and making the relations. And once we fail and we got a notice from them, sorry, guys, you missed the target, you missed the date. I think that was one of the points that I felt very lousy about it. Let's see.
But did you consider it as your own failure?
And no, it's a team.
So tell me about your own failure. I want to know when you failed. I want to know when you failed in business. You know, today's entrepreneurs, usually when I ask, they say, oh, I'm failing every day, because everything is changing so fast. I'm sure it became, for me anyhow, any failure, even the biggest one, became the seed of the next success. But what is a real failure that you had to really face a failure?
If it's the latest things that I have done, or not the latest, but definitely the latest. I've built, my dream was to build a place where I can bring people into a space, and not just a working space, but actually a space where I can bring people, especially startups, and teach them on a daily basis what to do, how to do, and etc., what I said a couple of minutes ago.
Yeah.
And I ran this project for a year and a year and 2 months. And unfortunately, I closed the business 2 months ago.
Wow.
And I think it is the most failure thing that I feel. Definitely, if I look from my age, I think this is the most, I would say, hurting point that I had, because I felt that I can change the world. I can change the ratio of successful of startups. Definitely not 100%, but definitely if today everybody is talking about 97%, 98% of the startups fail in the first year or the second year, I wanted to change it to 95, to 93. And unfortunately, for technical reasons, I fail to run this business. And I feel very bad about it. And I think this is what hurt me And I'm talking about very fresh because it's almost 2 months ago. And this is definitely something that big failure. But I hope to recover not only the money, but mostly is the way that I approach startups and new companies, and sometimes even old companies, and help them to build their business much better.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. It's so inspiring because today, and we are talking to entrepreneurs, and things are changing, and we are failing much often. I know for myself, we are failing more than in the past, because so many things are changing and so many things you're building for the future, and it's much difficult. And thank you for sharing it. And now I want to ask you about the story of your greatest, most significant success as a result of the right customer focus, or something that you did right about the customer.
In that case, I think I have something. It's a story. It's a short story, but I think this will tell you everything. As I said, I worked in Asia for many years, and one of the biggest projects we had in the Philippines was a project of $54 million, one project. And we had a competition, of course, quite a lot of competition. Siemens was a competition of ours. NEC from Japan was a competition, etc. And even another Israeli companies that time. And we were in competing, and we worked very hard. I brought my team. We brought the product. We showed that the product is good, but still we had a lot of problem to make sure that the customer at the end of the day will be satisfied and will give us the offer. And I flew, I lived at that time in Hong Kong, and I used to fly to the Philippines almost every couple of days. So one day I flew to the Philippines and I went to meet the guy who is the decision maker, and to see what else can I do in order to get the order. So I went to his office, and the secretary told me, this morning this guy, I'm not going to mention the names, flew to Hong Kong.
Oh.
I said, yeah, really? I just came from Hong Kong. Well, unfortunately. So I did 180 degrees back. I went to the airport, and I took the first flight to Hong Kong. And I asked the secretary when he's coming back, and she said in the evening, the last flight in the evening. So I came to Hong Kong, and I knew he's a very high-level person. So I bought, and he's flying only first class. So without any permission, I bought myself also first class a ticket. I went to the counter and I asked, and my friend, the name so-and-so, is flying. I want to sit next to him. And because I was a platinum member, the company that was Cathay Pacific told me, he's sitting in seat number, for example, 2A. So can I get 2C, which is the next? And she said, yes, of course, no problem. That's the first class ticket, you know, quite expensive. So I got the seat. And of course, I came to the airport and I was sitting in my seat. And then a couple of minutes after that, the guy is coming and sitting in his seat. And he looked at the right and said, Amos, what are you doing here?
Oh,
I said, I'm flying to Hong Kong, to Manila, to meet friends, you know, business. He said, Amos, it's not coincidence that you're sitting. I know you. It must be something. I said, no, it's a coincidence. Anyhow, God helped me, and the flight was delayed for another hour. Remember, the flight to Hong Kong to Manila is only 1 hour.
Ah, okay.
So another 1 hour on the ground. So I talked to him about 1 hour along the time and asked him question, and was a private one-on-one conversation in order to understand what I can do better in order to win the project. And then at that time, I had one of the first mobile phone in the hand. So he asked me, can I call my wife to tell her that I'm delaying 1 hour? I said, of course. He called his wife, and they told her that he's going to be late. And after that, we took the flight, and we flew over. And when I landed in Manila, I asked him, can we meet in the morning in order to have breakfast and continue our conversation? So he said yes. And the day after, in the morning, I woke up very early. I called his house because I had his phone number at the house. And I spoke to him and I asked him where we meet. And we met together and he gave me some tips. And the same day, 2:30 afternoon, we had a meeting where we met with the big team of ours and theirs. And at the end of the meeting, after I got a little bit tips from the guy on the flight and after in the breakfast, we got the project.
Wow.
$54 million project.
Wow.
Which means you work a little bit harder and you win. And that's what I think I did. And even I didn't ask anybody about the tickets and things like that. And my boss was definitely very happy because the spending on the ticket was nothing compared with the profit that we made on the $54 million project.
It's a beautiful story. And I think you're talking about creativity and thinking ahead. And again, as you said, thinking about the customer. And we only wish that the customer will ask us to phone his wife from our phone. This is the place that we want to be. And thank you for this story. I would like to ask you to recommend the best, most effective technological or digital tool that's related to customer-focused marketing or sales. You know, we are surrounded with so many new technologies and so many tools, and everyone say, buy this, buy this, buy this. And actually, the reason I ask this question is not to get another tool to the list, but to get the tools that the successful entrepreneurs and the successful opinion leaders are using. And that's what I was ask you, to recommend a tool that you really know that work for you.
I mostly use for the business the LinkedIn. Honestly, I think in the LinkedIn, I got today almost 10,000 people registered to me as friends.
Wow.
You know, many of them I never met in face to face, but I'm approached at least getting about 3 to 5 people wants to be connected with me on a weekly basis. I also send my request to people to be connected to myself. Depends on the area that I do. So if I'm looking as a one answer to your question, I think for the business tools, I think LinkedIn is the most. It depends very much what you are trying to do. Of course, if people want to use virtual reality, so they use another tool. And people who like very much to work with Facebook, it's good as well. But business-wise and business tool, I think that, to me at least, LinkedIn is the most useful one. After that, of course, you have the WebEx, where you have to do a web conversation, or you have WeChat, which you do a business in China, which works very nice. But LinkedIn gives me a lot of information, and I'm following what's happening in LinkedIn almost daily, more than I read the news.
Wow, I do agree. I do the same, and I found it is one of the best tools. And was there any person, a service provider, like a mentor, a consultant, advertiser, and it can also be a book, that had a major impact of your customer success and can help other entrepreneurs as well? Can you recommend or tell us about this story?
First of all, about the mentor, I think the only mentor that I really, really, and I think I'm saying it almost every day, every morning, was my boss in ECI.
Wow.
My boss in ECI, his name is Mr. David Rubner. He was my mentor, without any doubt. A mentor, which means the one who almost blindly went after what he has done. His advice was always smart, very, very polite, very smart. The way he speaks with people, he's very reliable, he's very trustable, and I think that if I would say, apart from parents, which definitely are that, those, he is the person number two for me in the business point of view and the person point of view. He is the most mentor one. And I think people who knows David Rubner, I don't think that anybody has different opinion about him. He's unbelievable a person, and I wish him long life. I think he's 75 or 76 years old. He's bright as the sun. He's polite, and he is always willing to help people. It can be even people he never met, but once he will meet with somebody, I think nobody will say on the contrary, everybody will say that he only helped, nothing else. So talking about a person, I think that he won. The other person that definitely had an impact on my life, reading the book of Steve Jobs.
Oh.
And following his way up and his down and way up again, I think Steve Jobs is the most example person that can entrepreneurs look and say, guys, we can make it better. We can make it. And I think that, at least, again, from my perspective, I think Steve Jobs is a worldwide known person. He is the one that I would say that him and his book and his history and everything about him gave me a lot of inspiration.
Thank you. I want to ask you, did you ever reach the point where you actually stopped chasing after customers and started to attract them?
Yes, it happens. It happens several times in lifetime. One of them was during the time of that. Again, I work with ECI. I had the history before ECI, but I'm not going to go back to the ancient times.
That's okay.
40 years ago. But talking the time of ECI, yes. I think the minute I made a change in ECI time, that I took with the permission of course, the CEO, David Rubner, at the service department under my department, which was the sales. And the minute I start to give the customer the right service according to what I, as in charge on the market, wanted, and customer in their important service, important needs, I gave them a service. I think that after that, especially was in China, I remember it, we got a lot of, at that time, I'm talking about 20, 25, 30 years ago, customer. I remember the story, and I'm not going to mention the companies. They said to me that this company, American company, and this Japanese company, and this company, whenever we need them, they are not here. But whenever there is a tender, they are coming. While when I was there, I was working with them every day, almost every day. And the minute you give a service to a customer on a daily basis, they know that they can call you and approach you. And you need from you everything, it changed the world. And customers started to chase me and came back to me and calling me. Or even it was for a tender, but I got a lot of tips during the tender, how to make the tender a success more than the competitors, mostly, I believe, because of that kind of service that I gave to the customers. And it was, I'm talking about China, but I can tell you that the story about Singapore and Hong Kong and India and New Zealand, Australia, Mongolia, etc.
Sure. And there are many things that affect success, and you've been success at your early life when you was a part of an entrepreneurial business that got really big, and at the last years when you are working with so many startups. And I want to ask you, and there are many things that really help or really affect your success, but I want to ask you, what is the one thing that affected your success? What is your key success factor?
I think mostly is listening to the other side. I think that the minute you are really listening to the other side, listening to his pain, listening to his needs, listening to what the other really wants, and not just saying, because I have so many years of experience, I know better than you. No, you never know better than anybody else or everybody else. You always be able to learn, and you will always be able to understand and analyze what is needed, and then come with an answer. Not always was my answers accepted by the other side, but the minute you really listen, and I mean me really, I mean in your soul, in your body, listen to that and get your feeling what need to be done. I think that will help you a lot. And I wish, and that's one of part of the things that I'm doing with entrepreneurs, I'm telling them, listen to the other side. I know that you are a very smart guy, and many of them are 10 times smarter than myself, if not 100,000, but experience they don't have. And one of the missing experience is the passion and the patience, meaning to wait a little bit. Count to 10 before you do, before you approach, before you throw things out or in, everything. Give this 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, and this helps a lot to make your story successful. And I think part of my success in various areas, and I failed in a few areas as well, luckily more success than fail, I think most the key for that was the listening and reading what is really need, reading the lips and reading the books and reading the internet, but reading and understanding and then doing whatever is necessary to do.
It's beautiful. And my final question before asking you what is the best way to contact you is about mountains. I'm a great believer that one of the best ways for the biggest, most stable and fastest success is going through leading your new category, especially with startups, understanding how the customer sees this field and then taking the ownership in the mind of the customers on this category as a category leader. And it always, I don't know why, I can guess, but it always reminds me climbing a mountain. Climbing and climbing until you can take this place in the minds of the customers. And I want to ask you, if there is any mountain that you ever climbed or wished to climb or like or looked at and or like the view, do you have any mountain story in your history?
Yes, I think, you're reaching a point in life that you want to do some changes, but you don't want to do dramatic changes. So I think in the year 2010, I had a very nice year from the success point of view. And I had some reasonable exit, okay, without getting into numbers.
Okay.
And my wife, lovely wife and myself visited in Italy and we sat down in the house of her friends for dinner and they told us, you know, the day after in the morning, my friend, another friend who was in the room, a lady from Rome, are going to approach, visit the area and she likes to buy herself a house.
Oh.
And this is was in north of Tuscany area, which are very, very unknown to most of the people, and they say, oh, and it's an opportunity for us to see the area, see the places. So we went in the morning and we start going with them just as a visitors, no attention. And then we came back to the hotel in the evening, and the day after, this lady wanted to do another one and she invited us to join them. So we went to see other area, and after with the second day, we came back in the evening to the hotel. And we looked at the area, and this is the area where are a lot of mountains in this area. You mentioned mountains, a lot of mountains, sure. Not high as the Everest, but definitely high mountains to climb. And we said, you know what? Why don't we have a house in this area?
Wow.
And so we called the guy the morning after. He's an Italian agent who speaks English. We called him. And we said, Angelo, are you willing to go with us to look? And we went around. The long story, it took us another 4 flights to go to Italy.
Oh.
4 times more, one after the other, to look for the ideal house that we wanted. End of the story, he found for us a house in the center of the mountains.
Wow.
Where you open the window, what you see in 200 and 210 degrees of view is mountains, green trees, a lot of oxygen. And this is the dream of a lifetime.
Wow.
That you want to do it for yourself. And I think that if I wanted to do something when I would be a little bit older, I think that was something that I wanted to do it for myself and definitely for my wife. So we have now a house in north of Tuscany, a very nice one. And my wife, she's an interior designer, and she did all the interior design in the house during the year 2011. And from the end of 2011 until now, we are approaching this nice mountain. Every time we take the mountain, either by foot or by the car, and we get to our house, we open the window, and we sit on the balcony, and we look at the view. The village called Mulazzo, Not many people know the place, but
we'll put the link. We'll put the link. We are putting the links to any mountain that is being mentioned here in the show. So we'll put the link to the place, not to your house though, but to the mountain.
Now you can see the view. You can see the people. You know, you meet people, the villagers' people, not the city people, which hugs you, which loves you, which if you are a human being, and I think that's what we approach them, and for the end of the story, just as a small gimmick for the story, and we bought the house and we renovated it, and then we needed all the stuff inside, you know, the beds and sure. Towels and everything. So there was one of the neighbor had a shop. We went to the shop. We bought everything. They brought it into the house, and the day we came to the house in order to organize it, the lady, the neighborhood head lady, called all the ladies in the village.
Oh.
All of them came into the house, almost didn't gave my wife a minute to do something. They arranged the beds, they arranged the towels, they cleaned the house, they helped everything. And this is the welcome that I think that nobody can even dream. There is nothing similar to that, you know. People who never know you, never met you, actually the first time came to the house, but this is the welcome from the villagers, the people in the villages. And I think this is something that everybody is dreaming about. And I think that at this point, I fulfill my mountain's dream.
It sounds great. And I just want to ask you, what is the best way to connect with you, to contact you, for any of our listeners that want to be in touch?
It's very simple. There is a site called About Me, aboutme-amos.talmor. About is about.me/amos.talmor. Once you click on that, you will be able to see what I'm doing, how to get to me, all the telephone numbers, and my website. Everything is there. And I think this is the best way of for people to be able to reach me and talk to me, and I will be able to be approached by anybody, usually from 6 in the morning Tel Aviv time until almost midnight. And if anybody has a question, a need, or something that I can help, I will be more than happy to do so.
Well, thank you so much. And we'll put, of course, the link to the site on the show notes of this episode. And Amos, I would like to thank you so much. It has been a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. And thank you for being here.
I thank you very much. I hope that the listeners will enjoy.
I'm sure they would.
And in the future, I'm ready to every time you call me, I'm here.
Thank you. Thank you for coming, and bye-bye.
Bye for now. Thank you.
And for you, our listeners, until the next time, it all goes down to this. You either reach or miss. Keep reaching your goals and vision. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Reach or Miss Show, the podcast for the customer-focused entrepreneur. You can find all the information, links, and resources that was mentioned at the show in our website, reachormiss.com. See you next week.